Brooke, we are back.
We are so fucking obnoxious.
I know. This is the last time I'm ever doing that again.
Wow. Okay.
Never again.
We made it four episodes.
Lucky number four.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a really... This is a special episode today.
Yes.
We're going to get you your pop culture news, and mm-hmm. there is a lot of it.
Yes.
But we're also going to drop some of our bonus episode.
Yes, we did it. We started a Patreon.
And yeah. It was not an easy feat.
No, it's really not. I'm like, how do so many people have Patreons? Why did we struggle? Is that just our lot in life, to struggle?
It is. Okay. It is.
Yeah.
It reminded me of trying to start a live journal back in the day.
I don't know what that is, but... But yeah, like, so we want to just, this episode will live on the first tier of our Patreon, where all
right.
just regular bonus episodes will live. But we wanted to give you just a little preview of, you know, what that is. So we're going to drop the first half of that after the pop culture
yes.
news.
We're going to, because, you know, as much as we hate being the people that are like, give us your money.
I know.
We're doing this ourselves now.
So I know.
It's give like, us your money.
we got to keep going somehow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's sadly the only way.
Yeah. But yeah, we're going to get into the pop culture news. We've mm-hmm. got Diane Keaton.
Ugh, yeah.
We've got Katy Perry and Justin Trudeau. We've yep. got some Taylor Swift stuff. Mm-hmm. And we've got The Real Housewives of Potomac, which
yeah.
really hits close to home because I am from Maryland.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this. I'm Arisha Skidmore Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
Grab a joint and a glass of milk.
Because this... is Almost Fameless.
Okay, this is depressing.
I know.
But we can't not talk about this.
Of course not. Because
we literally lost a legend.
Truly. And, like, we were both shook.
Brooke, I literally gasped.
Same. And Ross is the one that told me. I was like, look at you.
Really? You were just saying he was such a boomer.
He is, but sometimes he surprises me.
He has his finger on the pulse.
He does.
So Diane died on Saturday, mm-hmm. October 11th. She was 79. And it's, I think what's at least shocking for me is how out of the blue this seemed.
Yeah.
Because she just kind of seemed always around.
I know. And honestly, she still seemed young to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So vibrant.
Yes.
Her outfits, the way that she conducted herself
mm-hmm.
outside, just a very alive person. So this is really hard.
Specifically outside.
I caught her outside so much. but so right now we don't know what the cause of death is.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been, of course, as this happens, there's been so much news about it.
Mm-hmm.
A source did tell people
mm-hmm.
that she was rapidly declining. It was unexpected. They said that in her final months, she was surrounded only by her closest family, who chose to keep things very private.
Mm-hmm.
Even longtime friends weren't fully aware of what was happening.
Wow.
What's interesting, and I keep seeing this all over the internet, is that some of her friends started becoming more aware of the situation,
mm-hmm.
of her possibly not doing well,
mm-hmm.
because she listed her dream home in Los Angeles for $29 million.
Mm.
Especially because she had previously said she planned to remain there permanently. So people were kind of like, that's a little bit weird. I didn't actually realize she was a big house flipper.
Oh.
That was like one of her kind of side gigs. She would buy wow. up houses and flip them.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
I love that.
I would love to do that too. I mean, I wouldn't do any of the work, but I have a lot of ideas.
I bet you do. Shooting range posters in every room.
Okay. When it has meaning, it's okay to have on your walls.
Okay.
But Diane is survived by her two kids, Dexter, her daughter, who's 29, and Duke, her son, who's 25.
Mm-hmm.
She adopted them when she was in her 50s, which is
mm-hmm.
unheard of. That's what the thing about Diane is. I feel like she really was like, I'm doing whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, she's an outlier. And I love yeah. that about her. Like her fashion. I just saw a reel today that was like, you know, she didn't dress for the quote unquote male gaze. Like, everything she did was just what she wanted to do. And I love her. And she's, like, the best movie mom.
Oh, my gosh. Family Stone, I see this everywhere, and I agree. It's going to be really painful to watch this year.
I already bawl my eyes out at the end every time I watch that movie. And now it's just going to be even more.
Oh, God. I don't need to be sadder around Christmas.
I know.
So, you know, she had such a huge legacy. The tributes that have poured in from mm-hmm. stars, mm-hmm. it's almost like it should be 6 degrees of Diane Keaton. Because she's been in so much. So she had 3 high-profile relationships, one with Woody Allen. Mm-hmm. Many believe Annie Hall, that's the movie she won her first Oscar for, was based on their relationship, Warren mm-hmm. Beatty, and then Al Pacino. Mm-hmm. She described Pacino as simply the most entertaining man. To me, that is the most beautiful face. I think Warren Beatty was gorgeous, very pretty, and Al's face is like, whoa, killer, killer face. And I was just like, Al Pacino?
Wow. Yeah. Maybe you're going to get into this, but is he the one that said she was the love of his life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Godfather. I did not mm-hmm. know she was in the Godfather movies.
I didn't either.
Still have not seen them.
Listen, if she's not in a rom-com of some sort or like a Christmas movie, I didn't see it.
She was also in the First Wives Club. Mm-hmm. That's a big one, obviously. Yeah. Bette Midler said she was unbearably sad at the news in an Instagram post. She said, "The brilliant, beautiful, extraordinary Diane Keaton has died. Mm. I cannot tell you how unbearably sad this makes me." Goldie Hawn also had a tribute to her. Mm-hmm. Mandy Moore, Jane Fonda, like just so many people's lives she's touched.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm sick of these hits.
I know. Well, it's funny because, like I said, the Al Pacino thing, like he allegedly said she was the love of his life. But then I see all these other men being like, she's just, you don't ever forget her. She just makes you feel a certain way. Like Steve Martin and like.
Just like the father of the bride.
Yeah.
And they actually, Steve Martin Short, uh-huh. are touring right now. And so they talked a little bit about her. And there's that quote that's been going around where she was asked which of them is hotter.
Yeah.
And she's like, they're both idiots. And if that doesn't perfectly encapsulate her and also who I would want to be, I don't know what does.
And it also shows what fun those two must be to have as friends, where you can say shit like that.
Yes. Yeah. So, again, we don't know the cause of death, but we do know that she has definitely left a huge hole in Hollywood.
Definitely. I'm sad about it. And stop taking pictures of her loved ones crying.
Oh, my God.
Every time someone dies.
It's just, it's grotesque.
I know.
Like, I saw a headline, I think it was Page 6, that had a picture of Sarah Paulson outside.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was outside Diane's home or just outside crying. Uh-huh. And it's so invasive. It's so disgusting. It's like, these aren't, I feel like, once again, it becomes this thing where we're separating a person, like a celebrity, from being a human being.
Right. Yeah.
Where it's like, you think about the times when you've lost somebody or you've been so sad. I can't imagine having a fucking photograph being taken of me and then published. It's awful.
I saw one that's just absurd. And it was like, her son pays a slight tribute to her after her death. And he was outside walking wearing all black. That was the tribute. It's like, what are you
talking? What a powerful tribute.
Yeah. It's like, my God, shut up.
The obit section could never.
It's like, come on. But yeah, I miss her already. And I want to watch A Family Stone so bad. But I gotta wait.
I'm scared to. I already am so sad at that movie, especially towards the end.
I know.
I don't need to be sadder. The world does that enough for me.
I know. All right. Let's move on to some juicy gossip.
I love juicy gossip. Which, I hate sad shit.
Me too. So Katy Perry and Justin Trudeau, there's been rumors about these two knuckleheads for months.
Oh my.
So rumors started on July 28th. We actually talked about this on Rich and Weekly.
Yes, I remember.
The two of them were seen having dinner together at a super fancy restaurant in Montreal. She was on tour. They were seen together. Onlookers, as always, reported that they were together. But at the time, none of these onlookers reported any type of like physical touch or anything like that. So it was just rumors. We were all just speculating.
I'm mostly mad about the fact that I stood 10 toes down saying opposite gendered people can eat out and it doesn't have to mean anything. And then they had the audacity for this to come out.
I mean, that's true, but not when you're a pop star and an ex-prime minister of Canada. I feel like that there's something up there.
They're just like us, aren't they? That's what everyone says.
Well.
Us Weekly built a whole brand on that.
That's true. And so did even the rich. They're just like us.
You're right.
So over the weekend, the Daily Mail posted pictures of Katie and Justin on Katie's yacht. Off the coast of Santa Barbara. These pictures were apparently taken by people on a nearby whale watching boat. Someone popped out their Motorola Razr because these pictures were grainy as fuck.
I was gonna say it looked like a Nokia photo.
It's like, it was like, it kept saying a nearby boat. I'm like, how nearby? Because these photos
I'm just picturing the captain being like, there's the biggest blue whale we've ever seen. They're all looking at this yacht instead.
He's like, well, folks, we thought maybe we'd see whales, but instead we saw an astronaut. And that's something else. We went from the sea to the sky.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
They'll be dining out on that one for weeks.
So these pictures are obviously the biggest proof we could possibly have. They're kissing. They're hugging.
Scantily clad.
His hand was on her butt.
Her abs looked amazing.
I was just going to say, I know we shouldn't just talk about women's looks, but damn.
Yeah, her commitment to fitness, I can admire and respect.
Yeah.
I mean, she's an astronaut. You have to be fit.
That's very true. But you wouldn't have known it from her dancing during her tour. That lazy ass choreo.
You and this poor girl's choreo.
Listen, get better at it. And then I won't have anything to say. This is, listen, I was in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Oh my God.
I know choreo.
Oh my god.
So yeah, obviously we know these two have both been single for a little while now. Katie most recently, of course, her and Orlando Bloom announced their breakup in early July. They were together almost 10 years, not married, not engaged, just together. They have one daughter together. What's funny is when they broke up, their reps released a statement. Usually people will be like, this is us talking on our Instagram.
We have irreconcilable differences.
Yeah. It's like, come on. You can't say something. I guess they don't owe anybody anything, but it's still weird to have your reps say it for you.
Well, and also after a decade, that's a long time to be with somebody.
That is a long time. But this statement they released was essentially like, listen, you fuckers have been gossiping for months now. So we're just going to go ahead and confirm it. We only want to be parents. So just shove it in your pie holes, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's a powerful statement from a publicist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a rep. I don't know if it was a publicist. But they were like, you know, we are a family. You're going to still see us together. And they were recently seen together for, I think their daughter's birthday, I want to say, or Orlando's birthday. Somebody's birthday.
I love when that happens.
Yeah. It seems very amicable.
Yeah. I'm glad we've moved mostly past the narrative of we got to stay together for the kids.
I know.
Because kids aren't stupid.
No.
They know when you're unhappy. They can pick up on it.
Yeah.
And marriage isn't for everybody. Not everyone's compatible. We all grow and we all change and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. So true.
So what's next?
I really don't know because this pairing is so strange.
Well, one of the theories is that Katie needs a Canadian passport. She's so sick of this country, so she's moving up north.
Well, I thought that's why she went to space. How further north can you get?
That's not north, that's up. Big difference.
Okay. I don't know. What do you think about them as a couple?
I don't know. I liked Justin Trudeau for a while, and then I kind of was like, that's enough of you.
I don't really know anything about Justin as far as like his politics go, but I have seen comments of people that don't seem happy with him, but I'm like, well, who knows what that really means?
I'm so focused on the shit show of politics in the U.S. that it's hard to know what's going on for our northern neighbors.
Yeah.
But it does feel like a pairing. It's like Lana Del Rey and that crocodile hunter. Like, it just feels so left field that it's like, it just might work.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think he's probably good for her.
Yeah.
And maybe vice versa.
Yeah. I just can't imagine him backstage singing I Kissed a Girl
at her next tour. he's going to come out in a cummerbund and a top hat like Travis did for Taylor.
Stop it. Although, hell of a segue.
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
That was a beautiful segue.
I did it for sure on purpose.
Of course you did. So for people who are panicking because they don't know that reference of Travis holding Taylor Swift, panic no more. Because on Monday, Taylor Swift announced two new projects on Good Morning America.
Right.
She is releasing a six-part docuseries called Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, The End of an Era, as well as a concert film, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, The Final Show. Really wish they'd consulted you on these naming. It's so redundant.
Well, it is. It's like High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Exactly.
How is there more? Didn't she already do... Wasn't there already a documentary about the Eras Tour, or was there not?
There wasn't quite. Well, because I think, I don't know. I'm a little bit out of my depth because there's so many Swifties that know down to like
everything,
the bowel movements she has, that I couldn't possibly get into that enough.
Well, you have a hard time keeping track of your own. So it's like.
I really do. But both projects are coming out on Disney Plus in December.
Okay.
Now, the docuseries features, quote, an intimate look at Taylor's life as her tour made headlines and thrilled fans around the world. It includes performers, family members, and friends, including Sabrina Carpenter, Gracie Abrams. Gracie was the one who performed at the Eras Tour show that I saw in Vancouver. As well as Ed Sheeran and Florence Welch.
Okay.
Now, the first two episodes of the docuseries begin streaming on December 12th, and then the remaining four episodes will be released over the following 2 weeks.
Wow. Listen, it's genius. Why not?
This girl.
I know. She's...
This girl and making money. I've never seen a more cohesive pair.
She's good at it. She's good at making
money.
She's
very good at it. So for those that don't know, because they're just coming out of a coma, Taylor went on her Eras Tour for 21 months, starting in March of 2023 to December of 2024, where I famously attended her final show in Vancouver.
Yeah, who could
with
forget?
My sister-in-law. Never.
I can't believe that was 21 months.
Yeah. Well, she took a break.
Oh, okay.
There was like a break. I don't know how long. I don't know how many months, but there was a break because I was panicking trying to find tickets for my sister-in-law. And it was just like, okay, there were, because she went to Europe and then she came back.
I thought you meant your sister-in-law at first, but you mean Taylor.
But yeah, she performed 149 shows across 5 continents, 21 countries, and 51 cities. How much money do you think she made in ticket sales during that tour?
Oh, my God.
What's your guess?
Oh, I'm going to either guess ridiculously high or stupidly low. I'm scared. $4
billion. Ridiculously high.
Oh, damn. Let me guess again.
Okay.
$100
million. $100 million? So what? She made 15 cents, basically?
Okay, see, this is why I didn't want to guess. I don't know. I don't understand these figures.
She made more than $2 billion
Ticket sales. You acted like $4 billion was ridiculous.
Because a billion is so much.
Well, I know. She made half of what... I mean, it is half of what I said. But still, when you're up in the billions,
it's
like...
I know. Well, I still... The fact that I love the most is how long it takes for you to be alive for a billion seconds. It's not until you're in your 30s. But to be alive for a million seconds?
This is where we lose listeners.
But I'm just... It touches on the gravity of how much this is. It's the highest grossing tour of all time.
Yeah, well, that does. I mean, of course it is.
But what I think is interesting is she said that she has no upcoming plans to go back on tour. She did a recent interview on BBC Radio 1, and she said, I'm going to be really honest with you. I am so tired. Like, when I think about doing it again, I want to do it really well again, which I get. Like, she went all out.
I mean...
The bar is so high.
I understand people wanting to continue performing and doing the thing that they love. But at this point, she never has to do anything again if she doesn't want to.
I think that's what really bumps me out the most about really rich people is that they keep trying to earn more money. Like, just chill. Like, I would kill to just be able to chill.
Same. Like, I would love to wake up and not panic.
I don't don't know what that's like, and I don't think I ever will.
Well, now that we have the Patreon up and running.
Yeah, yeah, totally. We're golden.
But I mean, like, obviously they just got engaged. She should want to chill, enjoy time with Travis, plan their wedding. I don't know how long they're going to wait to get married, but, you know, she doesn't have to do anything again.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say this after she just dropped a whole new album, which we talked about last week.
I know.
But I think what's interesting is she has talked about it because the reviews have been mixed.
Right.
Which I have not seen negative reviews, but I think I'm
have.
My algorithm is very pro Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But she said, I welcome the chaos. The rule of show business is if it's the first week of my album release and you are saying either my name or my album title, you're helping. Again, businesswoman. This
that's
woman
true.
Is so savvy.
Yeah.
It's like the haters are as helpful as the lovers.
To quote Jay-Z, she's not a businesswoman. She's a businesswoman.
There it is. There it is. So she's thriving.
Yeah.
I think it is interesting. One thing I've been thinking about is how there was that boycott for Disney Plus.
Right.
For Jimmy.
Yeah.
For them shutting down Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, they're going to make all their money back tenfold now.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Talk about a calculated business move. So.
Well, doesn't she have all 10 songs in the top 10 of the Billboard 100 right now?
All 10 of her songs are in the top 100.
But they're the top 10.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, they just keep repeating because they're like, these songs are so popular, we can't even put them in just one slot.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see Charlie XCX was on SNL this weekend? And she wore a Kansas City shirt?
Yeah.
People are like, oh.
Well, people are like, that means Taylor's going to be on next week.
What? No, come on. Why would it mean that?
Is that what that means?
Absolutely not.
But people are saying, because I've been wondering about this alleged feud between the two of them.
Yeah.
And Charlie XCX did say something because she was asked if she would do her own tour documentary. And she said she felt the market was already saturated with similar projects. She says, I feel like my problem with a lot of musician documentaries is it often shows the musician coming up against some kind of opposition and eventually overcoming it to be the hero. Mm-hmm. And that's just not been my experience, you know? Maybe it has been a lot of other people's, and that's awesome. So people are like, oh, my God, she threw so much shade at Taylor. And it's like, she doesn't – I understand what she's saying. I don't know that that's shade. You can find shade wherever you look for it.
Absolutely. People always turn everything into shade.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Wow. All
right. Your Decembers are going to be very full, it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Gonna crash Disney Plus's app.
Well, you know what else is going to be full? The jail in Maryland.
Oh, God, these segues are next level. All right.
Okay, this one. All right. We got to talk about Wendy Acefo from Real Housewives of Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her husband, Eddie, were indicted on multiple charges of fraud. So this happened last Thursday, October 9th. Now, I don't watch The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Right.
I'm thinking about maybe starting.
We should. I could point out all the locations I recognize. You'd love it.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch it on my own.
Ah! Fucked up.
I don't need to hear about Maryland every second of every day.
Yes, you do.
But like you said, this did happen in Maryland. We all know there's tons of crooks in Maryland.
It's the number one crook export in the United States, right after Washington, D.C.
Yep, everybody knows that. okay, so here's the story, because I'm assuming you don't really know much about it. Way out of your depth as far as Real Housewives go.
I did see their mugshots and they looked too happy to be getting in trouble. I would be sobbing. I'm gonna get grounded.
Well, Eddie's a lawyer.
That's
which
probably
is
why he's smiling.
Crazy. And Wendy's a doctor. So very
wow.
High profile jobs here, aside from being on the Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what happened. So according to Wendy and Eddie, they were in Jamaica on vacation. They came home and found their bedroom and both closets to be ransacked. On April 7th, 2024, they submitted three separate insurance claims estimating that $450,000 worth of jewelry and designer bags were stolen from their house. However, their alarm never went off at their house and their Ring camera didn't detect anything. So investigators from like the jump were very much like, that's weird. That's suspicious. That's suspicious.
My Ring camera picks up leaves blowing.
I know. They're
it's like emotions detected.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually.
And I would say my closet has maybe $83 worth of things in it. So you're telling me they have $450,000 worth of stuff mm-hmm. and they don't have a very sensitive Ring camera? Suspicious.
Right, right. So later on, investigators actually determined that numerous items that Wendy and Eddie claimed were stolen were actually purchased and then returned for a refund prior to this alleged burglary.
Oh, no.
And investigators saw that Wendy posted a photo wearing a ring that she claimed was stolen during the robbery.
So when you say they're a lawyer and doctor, they graduated at the very bottom of their class, because this is like literally 101 of crime.
For all we know, those diplomas are also fake.
They're like, they stole our diplomas too.
Yeah. Wendy was indicted on 16 total counts, 7 counts of insurance fraud, 8 counts of conspiracy insurance fraud, and 1 count of false statement to a police officer. Eddie was indicted on 18 counts, so he had 1 extra count on each of the insurance fraud and the conspiracy insurance fraud charges.
I always wonder how they figure that out.
I know. It doesn't make sense to me, and that's crazy because we're lawyers, so we should know.
I know. I know. Well, so is he, and look at him.
Great point. I guess anybody can be a lawyer these days. That's what we've learned.
Truly.
So a spokesperson for Wendy actually sent a statement to Variety. Mm-hmm. And the statement said, Dr. Wendy Acefo and her husband, Edward Acefo. I hope I'm saying their names right. I'm like realizing because I don't watch the show. Someone will tell me.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough.
They're back home safely with their family and in good spirits. They're grateful for the outpouring of concern and support from friends, fans, and colleagues. The Acefos, alongside their legal team, look forward to their day in court. At the same time, they respectfully ask for privacy as they focus on their family and the legal process ahead. So, of course, we all took that to mean, let's talk about it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Listen.
Well, when you...
Yeah.
Allegedly commit a crime.
Right.
It does become fodder.
Especially when you're a public figure and you're on a TV show.
Yeah, it's like And I saw some headlines about this, where especially the one where she was wearing it in a post.
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on. At least put it in a close friends. Like, don't just be so blatant about your crimes.
I know. Well, listen, if you're not committing crimes, are you even a real housewife?
That's so fair.
Yeah.
She could be Jen Shaw's cellmate. Is she still in prison?
She is.
Eventually, they'll just have a whole housewives wing.
Yeah.
And start filming it Real Housewives of Jail.
Honestly, that is where the country is heading.
I'm sad because it's not that far off. Like, I could see that.
And I'm not better than anybody. I would probably watch it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So Wendy and Eddie are tentatively scheduled to appear in court on November 7th, and most of the felony charges carry a maximum penalty of 15 years. So they could be in there a while, you know?
I assume they're saying we're innocent. Have they, like, released a statement about that yet?
I don't know. I didn't see that. Just the spokesperson.
Other than leave us alone while we categorize all of our ill-gotten goods.
It's like, how dare you follow us to the pawn shop? We're, like, trying to live our lives here. How dare you?
My thing is, like, okay, if you're going to commit a crime like this, do, like, one or two things. It's like, I'm just picturing them taking this huge, like, treasure chest of jewels back to the jeweler. And then them ransacking their own house.
Right. Yeah. Damn. I wonder if they did, like, they came around and they, like, they came home and they, like, threw some shit around to really set the scene.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but Bravo's doing a Real Housewives edition of Wife Swap.
No.
And Wendy and Eddie were supposed to be in the first episode that was going to air yesterday, Tuesday.
Right.
But after this, like, arrest news broke, Bravo pushed the premiere to October 21st. And that episode's going to be a completely different housewife. It's going to be Angie from Salt Lake City. And Wendy's episode, they're saying, is delayed, but I feel like they're not going to air that.
It's Bravo.
They threw out an entire season of Girls Trip. When the Brandy Glanville stuff went down, they completely got rid of that whole season. So I can't see them, like,
Well, that's a different crime, though, right?
Well, yeah.
This is a fun crime. This is like, oh, you're so greedy right. with wealth. We can make fun of you for this. That was like sexual problematic
true.
Shit.
True, true, true.
I hope they do. I will say Bravo is probably so used to they at this point.
I mean,
they must always know to have backups ready. Because they're like, oh, they're in trouble with the law again. We got to air a different episode.
I know.
They just know.
I'm looking forward to seeing Wife Swap, though, with the Housewives. I think that could be really fun.
You know what I'm looking forward to seeing?
What?
Everyone's reaction to our bonus episode.
Oh, wow. Look at you go.
Which is crazy because it's coming up.
It is coming up. And you guys, I hope you're not pissed at us for being like, here's the first half and you have to pay for the rest. But like, we were informed that it would be better to give you guys a preview.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you were already paying $5 for some stupid apps.
Yeah.
Now.
Like.
Now you're going to get stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And truly, like, give us feedback.
Yeah.
Tell us what would make it worth it to you.
Right.
Because we're at your beck and call for now while we try and learn and figure this all out.
Yeah. Well, should we give a rundown of, like, the tiers? Just, like, a quick.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
So the first tier is just the standard $5 a month. That gets you ad-free episodes, bonus episodes anytime we drop them. You can be in the Patreon chat.
Yeah, we're going to start a chat. Brooke's starting a chat.
I'm starting a chat. But you guys can, like, talk to each other. You can talk to us. Whatever you want. The next tier, it's called the Burn Book. That's $10 a month. That gets you everything you get before, ad-free episodes, bonus episodes anytime we drop them. But also episodes that we're calling the Burn Book, where we will just rant. We're going to rant.
Rant and rave.
Because a lot of times, we keep this show politics free as much as we can.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of pop culture political crossover, like the Jimmy Kimmel stuff.
Well, what gave us this idea was one of the stories we covered was J.K. Rowling and Emma Watson and that shit. Uh-huh. And I apparently went off too much because Brooke was like, we should put this behind the paywall.
Well, I went off too and I'm like, wait, this would be a really good like rant. So those episodes will be not always like political, but when pop culture bleeds into politics, it's hard for us to cover it. So that'll be a better place for us to just rant about shit that pisses us off, and it'll be fun. Yeah. And
you guys know us, so it won't be surprising. We won't have everyone to be like, oh my God, I was supporting you guys, and then I realized you didn't bend the knee to that guy.
Yeah. And then the Mac Daddy tier, the sleepover tier. So you guys know, maybe you don't, we have a Thursday night sleepover every Thursday when Arisha doesn't abandon me and go to Mexico or Maryland like she is right now.
Rich coming from, I just saw you put a Disneyland trip.
Yeah, I did.
Over a Thursday night? You want to talk about abandonment? I'm going to be dining out on that with my therapist for weeks.
Good. I'm glad to keep her in business. But that tier, again, gets you everything ad-free, bonus episodes, rant room, voting on polls, chat room, advanced merch. But twice a month, and maybe more if you guys want it. I don't know if we have like enough people that want it. We're going to give you an inside look into our sleepover. So we're going to have a Zoom at our sleepover so you can join us. We'll watch rom-coms. We'll watch some TV episodes if you guys want. We'll let you guys decide what we watch. Mm-hmm. We'll get dinner. We'll smoke some weed. We'll talk shit.
Drink some milk.
Some of us will do that. we'll just like have a girls' night, you know? I'm really excited about that tier. I think that'll be girls' nights. Really fun.
Yeah. I wish every night was girls' night.
Every night is girls' night if you want it to be.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
So that is what you will get. You can check out the Patreon. You can obviously join the Patreon for free and get your episodes there, right? Mm-hmm. We're still learning as we go, but.
Yes.
And we'll add stuff as we go, too. Like, if there's stuff that you guys want, let us know.
Yeah. It's funny, when we were working on this, because we're working with some people at Patreon, and one of the guys, he made a point of being like, don't go too big. Because initially, like, when I was coming up or thinking about things we could do, it's like, oh, we could do this. It's like, okay, let's start small. So this stuff is definitely going to evolve. Like we've said 1,000 times at this point, we're figuring this all out, flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll stick around.
Yeah. We think you guys will enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go ahead and start playing that very first bonus episode.
Yeah.
Now.
guys, welcome to our very first bonus episode. We did it, guys.
Oh my God, we did it.
We did it. Wow. Yeah, this originally we recorded because we thought it was going to be our very first episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then we were like, no, we got to get into like the pop culture news and all of that stuff. So we're like, we'll save this. We'll save this as a bonus episode because you guys have had a lot of questions about.
Yeah, understandably.
Yeah. Like what happened to the shows? Where did they go? Because it was sudden. Mm-hmm. We know that.
Why won't Brooke stop talking about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? A lot of questions.
I feel like nobody's asking that.
Everyone's asking it.
You know what happens? Someone's probably like, why won't Brooke stop talking about this? And then they sit down and they're like, let me think about this. Being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is so fucking cool. Why wouldn't she talk about it?
No one's thinking that.
The real question is, why does Arisha have an IV drip of milk going into her veins every day?
I don't know, because it does the body good. Ever heard of it?
No.
Big milk really got me.
Yeah, they did. You're a real consumer. So this is the first episode. We obviously have more coming.
Yes.
And anytime we think about doing one, we'll just do it. We have some fun stuff. Yeah. Like we have some games to play with each other. We want to eventually start having some guests on.
Mm-hmm. Having more deep dives, even the rich style. We want to start doing that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Family Dynasty, stuff like that.
Yeah. We're working on some stuff. We're working on some pitches, maybe some networks will help us because it's a lot of work. As you guys know, because we have just barely figured out the volume on these episodes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, if you ever listen to an episode we did at Wondery and listen to the credits, we're now paring that down from 39 to 2 people. So we've got a lot at our hands and we're working. Yeah. We're making it work.
Yeah. But we know that you guys have questions about stuff. So we're going to tell you guys all about our almost 6-year journey.
Yeah.
Recording Even the Rich, Rich and Daily / Weekly, In God We Lust, Even the Royals, because.
Bunga Bunga.
Bunga Bunga. Twin Flames. That one where those two girls were fighting and then one DM'd us and yelled at us.
Yes. Factor. F Factor.
F Factor.
Yeah. Plus the one I did. What was that show that got canceled? With all the behind the scenes drama.
I literally don't know. So for the next couple of episodes, I think we just want to tell you guys about it from the beginning. And I don't know, give you some insight into what's happening. Because I think most people think when you're hosting a podcast, whether it's for a network or not, people I think are under the assumption that every decision that's made is by the hosts. Mm-hmm. When in reality, at least in our case, zero decisions basically were made by us.
Right.
And that's not to say like we didn't have input on things. Like definitely our teams would hear our input and take our feedback. But that's the most frustrating part, especially like just thinking of X Factor.
F Factor. Yeah.
Whatever the hell that show was called where those two women wouldn't stop fighting over fiber.
Yeah, that was a lot. And
we were essentially, so a lot of times if you guys listen to shows like across Wondery, a celebrity would host that podcast, and then when they weren't free for like the interview episodes after, they would ask us to do it. At least back in the day when it was just Wondery and there wasn't that many people.
Yeah,
like
I did Rosa Parks for Imagined Life.
Yes, that's right.
And I still cannot think of that show. True Love, maybe.
Yes, it was.
It was
True
like
Love.
A fictional. Yeah, they were fictional love stories.
Yeah, I forgot you did that.
I did until the other day when I was thinking about my tenure at Wondery and everything was flooding in of all the stuff that's happened.
Yeah.
We've lived like 6 lives here.
Yeah. Essentially for those episodes and all interview episodes, there's a script. And one of our grievances was always that it didn't sound like an interview. It didn't sound conversational because we had these like chunks of text to read.
Yeah.
And thankfully over time, like our interview producers worked with us and we found ways to make them more fun and more conversational. But at the beginning, we just, again, no idea what we were doing.
Right.
But the angle for the F Factor interview was very much their angle. We were simply there to ask the questions. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls from that show, from that feud, messaged us and she was so mad.
Yeah. We were like, what? And it's hard because we're not, you know, we're not Adele getting probably, what, 10,000 messages a day?
Right. We see them.
We get, like, one message a day. And if it's mean or negative or complaining, depending on what it is, it'll either enrage us or upset us. Not positive emotions.
I will say, though, the longer we went on, the more I was like, fuck this.
Well, yeah, we should talk about what it was like at the very beginning when we made the huge mistake of reading all of our reviews.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. Let's go back. I think we've told this story a couple times about how we actually started this job, but Arisha found a casting notice in a Facebook group, and it was like looking for funny friends to talk about rich people or whatever. And she comes busting into my room because we were living together at the time. And she's like, or maybe you sent me a screenshot.
We weren't living together at the time.
Oh, that's right. We weren't living together because I had my customer service job and I was doing it in your old bedroom. Yeah.
You were yelling at poor mothers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd do it again. I would do it again. But so Arisha must have sent me a screenshot and you were like, this is us. Like, we got to do this. We sent in an audition just about like our friendship and why we thought we were good for the job. And I found that not long ago. Maybe I'll insert like a clip of what you said. Yeah.
But, you got to insert us clinking the glasses. That's what clinched this job for us. I know it.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Even the Rich. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Arisha.
Hear that clink? We're drinking tea.
So we sent that in. They liked our friendship. They liked our story because we used to do valet parking. So they liked that we met rich people and celebrities doing that.
Yeah, it was a good intersection. Comedians that are celebrity adjacent.
Yeah. Then they were like, okay, we're going to send you a script, just kind of record it about, it was about Princess Diana. And I have that audition too. And like, we kind of both told the story. It was so different at the time. Like, no one really knew what Even the Rich was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, they just knew that it was going to be about rich people, and that was about it. They didn't know if we were both going to tell the story. They didn't know if one person was going to tell the story, which, as you guys know, if you listen to that show, one of us told the story every episode. But in the beginning, it was supposed to only be me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll end it all right here. If I have to be the one every single episode, like...
Well, and then I was given the lines that made me sound like my brain had been created this morning.
Yeah, they definitely, and I will say I love the team that started the show, absolutely adore them.
Yeah.
The producer who really advocated for us to get the job is one of our dear, dear friends.
Yeah.
Like,
we're gonna have to have him on at some point.
We do.
Yeah.
But they just had this idea of what two best friends sounded like, and it was...
Well, it was like two best friends on a Disney Channel sitcom.
Yeah, my dream.
Yeah, if I'm getting that Disney money, okay, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah, and there's this one line that we joke about to this day where we talk about... Because the first season was about Princess Diana and Meghan Markle and the differences between them, and someone put that Princess Diana was a commoner, and technically her dad was like... An earl,
yeah.
And
so technically she wasn't a commoner.
Right.
And calling her a commoner is tantamount to
racism?
Yeah, that or like murder?
Yeah, you would have thought we killed a village.
Yeah.
Like people in the comments or in the reviews were like, she's not a commoner. How could you call her a commoner? Commoner, commoner, commoner. We were like, we didn't do it. We just were literally so happy to have a job.
Yeah.
We're reading whatever we're being told
those,
to read.
Like, show monkeys. Exactly. Go like, dum, 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 dum. That's us.
And again, this is nothing against the team because I truly adore them and they're amazing. But like, none of us knew what it was going to be or what it was supposed to be. And it was just like, we weren't pushing back because we're like, wow, we got a really fun job. Yeah. Let's just read the paper.
Yeah. You don't rock the boat day one at your job.
Exactly. Yeah. We just rocked it day three through whatever the last day was.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's interesting, but that's, so we ended up recording that episode three times.
It was a
lot. So many times. And where we would retake whole sections, whole acts.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've beaten them down so much that by the end, we would retake a sentence or two. We all got better, obviously.
Yeah.
At what we were all doing. But the beginning times, and thank God we were like new and naive and knew nothing of anything.
I know.
Because it was just, we kind of learned with everybody.
Yeah.
Which is a blessing,
I think. It may have gone worse if we were the hardened assholes we are now.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we didn't come in new to the world now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like when we started, it really was the precipice of podcasting. Because our show launched the week LA shut down.
Yeah.
For COVID in 2020.
So when we read the reviews, only the trailer had come out. Or only, like, the preview of the show had come out. And that's how bad it was. Like, the reviews were so mean. They were like, these two vapid whatevers, like, people didn't really resonate with it. And that's got a lot to do with the fact that we weren't being ourselves.
Right. And people really hate when women laugh.
Yeah, they don't love it.
Who knew that?
I'm going to laugh my fucking ass off on this show.
I want to just giggle for no reason, just to spite for all those people that hate when women laugh.
It's impossible, though, because we're so funny, you're always going to have a reason. See?
Damn.
Hear that genuine laugh of hers that just came out?
I know. I try to suppress it. For spite.
Yeah. So, yeah, we launched when the pandemic started, and it didn't do well. And we found out later, one of our producers told us that at the beginning, somebody at the company was like, well, maybe it's just not that good of a show because it wasn't doing well. And I guess they kind of gave up on it a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is, like, devastating to hear.
This is the same person that basically told us that soon we wouldn't be able to go outside getting mugged by fans.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my God. Are we going to be stars? And we weren't.
Yeah. I tell this story only to Brooke, but there's a behind-the-scenes story of the Friends cast where they went to Vegas before Friends came out because they had been told this show's going to be huge. You're not going to be able to go anywhere without being recognized. And so that's the running joke that I have with Brooke where we should have gone to Vegas because this show is going to blow up our lives. And it did blow up our lives, but we can go outside.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't, but we could.
I know, we don't.
But yeah, and that's why it was such a, like, when this person we found out, like, we ended up finding this out, thankfully, much later, because then the show got really big, and it didn't really matter anymore. And I think if we would have heard that at the beginning, it would have really crushed our spirits. Like, I think because we were so new, that would have really gotten into our heads, and maybe we wouldn't have gotten better. Maybe the show wouldn't have gotten better. So I'm actually very glad we didn't know that when it was said.
Yeah. So yeah, so the beginning was
wild.
Yeah.
Finally, we were like, can Arisha please start A hosting? We call it A host, B host.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing is, so we were the first dual hosted podcast at Wonderly. Yeah.
So throw some fucking respect on our names.
Yeah, put some respect on our names. So they didn't know how that looked yet. Like, we were essentially all discovering it because Brooke and I had never obviously done professional podcasting. We had that wildly successful season of The Bachelor that we podcasted independently. But we were essentially all learning what this looked like. And at the beginning, it was a little less collaborative because we were, like we said, very grateful to have a job. I mean, up until then, Brooke was, you know, yelling at mothers and fathers. I was working the same job that I have now. But we were, like, doing, for a long time, we were doing the gig economy. We were both bartending. Yeah. So it was just, we were grateful for the job. And so we had to slowly work to infuse who we were. Mm-hmm. Because that's how we got the job, is for being ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's when people started to like it.
Yeah.
We were still, like, I know people used to ask this. I mean, they don't really anymore, but they would ask about the scripting. Because at the beginning, it was, and it still to this day, the A host would have, like, the bulk of the story, the narration of the story. Mm-hmm. Like, it's June 6th, 1983, and so-and-so is walking down a brightly lit hallway. Like, that was the A host that was in the script. And then the B host job has always been to be kind of the audience. So they would interject with one-liners or commentary. And at the beginning, those were all written for us. like right. the interjection. And we would be like, yeah, like we would just say it. There's a line from season one.
Oh, no.
I was going to bring this up before and I forgot.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We were talking about Brexit and how Meghan, one of the headlines was Megxit, or there was a video where they called it Megxit. And our producer wanted me to be so like
static
about Megxit. And like the line was written Megxit, I love that. So like I was saying it like, oh, Megxit, I love that. And she was like, no, bigger, bigger. And to the point where it eventually was Megxit, I love that. It's like that is never a reaction I would have in a million fucking years. And I was just like, whatever, I love her, I'll do it, you know, like I'm gonna
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
And when they decided to rerun that season, many other seasons had gone by and we kind of found our groove. So I was like, can we please take out the Megxit line? And we did.
Yeah.
But so over time, those one line interjections, we would write ourselves. So they were still mm-hmm. written down and scripted. And a big thing about it, and a big thing for listeners, is that they sound scripted because they are.
Right.
So, I mean, this is jumping ahead a little bit, but eventually when Royals started, we were like, we'd really love to have the B host never see a script.
Yeah.
Just react genuinely. And they were scared because, again, we were the first show to ever do that. I don't think any other show does that at all. They would like see the script and like kind of chime in where they felt or whatever. I don't know what other shows do. I'm not going to fucking pretend to know. I don't care. But so when we did Royals, we were like, can we just make this be natural? And it worked so well that we eventually shifted to doing that on ETR. But by that point, ETR had changed so much. But that was always, even listening back to it, I'd be like, that just sounds scripted. It's not natural.
Yeah.
But should we talk about our scandal?
Oh my God, our scandal.
All right, guys. So that was the first half of our first ever bonus episode. To listen to the rest, subscribe to us on Patreon at Almost Fameless.
Yes. We will put the links in our bio everywhere. It'll be in the meta. You guys will be able to easily access it. You can also just search Almost Fameless.
Yeah.
And we hope you guys sign up and we get to hang out more. And I think this gives us an opportunity to be a little more like intimate.
Loosey-goosey and
fun. Is intimate a weird word to say?
Yeah. Are you trying to fuck everyone?
We can all finally kiss. Finally.
Kiss like friends are meant to, according to my parents.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can't let them pay for this Patreon. We still have that cease and desist.
Well, this is the end of the regular episode, so they'll hear this if they listen.
Oh, no. You're right. This is the end of the regular episode. Wow. See, they're already blurring in my head. I'm in big trouble.
I know. Yeah. But guys, next week we will be back to regular episodes. So we will see you then.